Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2017. It is Sunday night, July 30th, 2017. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and I'm joined once again by my partner in crime, fresh back from St. Vincent College in La Trobe, Alex Cazora. Alex, happy Sunday. Three practices down.
Happy Sunday, Dave. And at the rate this is going, there might not be any rookies left by, like, Wednesday. So, but it was a good practice today.
Yeah, first padded practice of the year today. And, you know, this team has been overly healthy for the most part. But you put the pads on. Look, you're bound to have some of, you know, players get injured. I mean, there's no way around it. You're playing a violent sport, you know, such as this. You're gonna have injuries. It's just a fact of life. You just keep your fingers crossed that the injuries aren't overly serious, long term, and you hope that once players do get injured, they're able to overcome it quickly and move on. The Steelers had a long list, I guess you could say, of players to miss time on Sunday, and we'll start running them down real quick. James Conner had to leave late with a shoulder injury of some description. Mike Tomlin said he's being evaluated. There was a picture posted on Twitter by a fan later in the evening with her posing with Conner, and he had a sling on. So read into that what you will. It sounds like he's going to miss at least a little time. How much we'll have to see. You just hate it for a guy like him, but and it sounds like he made it through, I don't know, two-thirds, three-quarters of the practice, but it's obvious that he's probably going to miss some time. A few players suffered what Mike Tomlin described as heat-related injuries on Sunday. They were rookie outside linebacker Keon Adams and tight end Xavier Grimble. Seemed like Grimble had some problems last year, maybe early
he
on.
He did. First day, he couldn't make it through. He cramped up. So that happened again because this is news to me.
Yeah, Tomlin called it a heat-related injury with Grimble. I thought Grimble was the one that left early last year. Mike Tomlin also added that linebacker Vince Williams, safety Mike Mitchell, cornerback Cinquez Goldson, and tight end Scott Orndorff all left practice Sunday with possible soft tissue injuries. Mike Mitchell, it happened early in the practice, I think seven shots to be exact. Mm-hmm. I think you even said he possibly stepped on Antonio Brown's foot. So probably some sort of an ankle twist or something there. Vince Williams, he never even practiced, and that was kind of surprising because you know, he likes to talk a little bit of mess there on Twitter. He was looking forward to the first day of practice in pads. He didn't get to work at all. Orndorff left later in the session, and boy, you want to talk about bad luck. Cinquez Goldson, I guess, hurt during the special teams phase there. It looked like he grabbed his hamstring, I guess, is something that you reported. This guy just can't catch a break.
It's so unfortunate. I was joking with a buddy of mine sitting with, and it was about like 4:15, and he said, you know, is this Golson's first pad of practice he's gonna get through? And I said, well, give it about 40 more minutes and we'll say that he got through it. And then probably about 40 minutes later, I watched it happen the whole way. He's working as a gunner in just some of the drills, and he gets about 10, 15 yards downfield as a left gunner and immediately reaches for that left hamstring, tried to stretch it out, kind of hung around for a little bit. He didn't immediately get carted off, but to go back up to the facility, he had to get used to cart. So it was a good day of work for him, too, which is just probably maybe the worst part. I mean, he played well, had a couple of nice tackles and breakups, and to end it on this note, you feel for the guy.
You really do, but now he's going to miss more time. And this is the guy that Kevin Colbert said in the offseason. They basically, in so many words, they don't have any confidence in him that he can contribute. And Carnell Lake has since said that, you know, if Golson's going to make this team this year, it's going to be as a special teams member first. I mean, sooner or later, I mean, we'll see. I mean, let's just hope that this isn't serious long term. But I mean, if it indeed is a hamstring, he's going to miss some time. And you know, that's time. This guy is yet to play in a preseason or regular season game. And you can't even, as you said, I don't even think he's made it through one padded practice yet. I think he was hurt last year on day three or day four. I want to say it was his first padded practice last year as well, too. It's just not looking good. I understand everybody upset with people saying, go ahead and cut him. I don't think that's going to happen just yet. But the writing's been on the wall with him a while, and he's just got to stay healthy.
Yeah, so hopefully he can come back quickly. And, man, that really disappoints me about Grimble, because that just stuff should not happen. I mean, the guy's in great shape, at least on the surface, the way he looks. I mean, he's cut. And, you know, being a year with the team, working out, you'd think he would be in tremendous shape. And to get knocked out for heat-related injury, is he doing the hydration and necessary stuff to take care of his body? I hope so, but these aren't positive signs for him.
Yeah, once again, Juju Smith did not work on Sunday. Cameron Sutton, lower body injury, did not work on Sunday. So, as you said, four of the team's eight draft picks did not work or did not finish, start or finish, depending on who you're talking about on Sunday there. So, oh, Lord, it's that time of year again. One rookie draft pick who did start and finish on Sunday and had a pretty good day today, from what I understand, T.J. Watt.
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty good day. I like the progression. Villanueva still gives him fits, whether that's in pass pro or the run game, and that's obviously the top guy that you're going to, you know, compare him to. But when you see him in backs-on-backers, you see some of the football IQ and obviously some of the conditioning things. He did well his first rep in backs-on-backers today. He went against Nile Davis, started with an outside rush counter to the inside, and beat Davis pretty clean. Another play later on in team session, it was a tight end screen to Odom, and Watt reads it, doesn't rush the quarterback, sits at home, and knocks the football away. So, you know, you're seeing some of that with him. He's played both outside linebacker spots already, which is kind of interesting. He did a little bit of left outside yesterday. He flipped with Bud. He's dropping into coverage a lot. I think because Steelers are playing more press man to protect themselves underneath, because sometimes, you know, those press corners can get beat by, you know, curls and comebacks and things like that, where you lose a little space at the top. Watts dropping into coverage a lot to that side is kind of the overhang defender. So I think the progress, it's not, you know, jaw-dropping, obviously, but it's noticeable, and I'm pretty pleased with it.
All right, so some nice battles with Villanueva then?
Absolutely. I mean, Villanueva's won, I think, most of them. I think maybe Watt got him once today. I have to go back and go through my notes, but he's just so big, so strong. Once he gets his hands on you, the battle's kind of over.
All right, let's roll through the position groups. Any noticeable changes on the offensive line in any of those battles? You know, maybe that you could visibly see. I know it's tough to see guards and centers sometime once the pads go on there. But recap everything that you saw on the offensive line.
I think the lines were basically the same. B.J. Finney did get a little first-team work. Ramon Foster was not in one of the 11-on-11 sessions, so maybe they're just having Finney there in case, you know, Foster would ever get hurt. And, of course, Foster being an older guy, they're going to limit some of his reps as well. You know, Hawkins had his hands full with Chickalo. I'll say that Chickalo beat him a couple times today. There have been some good battles there. And then quietly on the other end, I think a guy like Mike Matthews, who, you know, has a good pedigree, a good football family, kind of the squatty type, but he's strong. He has a good base, and he handles bull rushes pretty well. So that's a guy to maybe keep an eye on practice squad. Ditto with Ethan Cooper, who is just a tank. I mean, he's just all like thighs. That's his entire body. I mean, he's just a big, squatty, built-looking dude, but he's tough to move because he's just so big. And he had a nice kick-out block today. Kyle Friend did as well. So some of the second-team guys that people aren't familiar with, I thought, had some nice reps today.
I know we're talking about offensive linemen, but how is Chickalo winning?
He wins in a variety of ways. He can win with, you know, I think that speed, you know, dip move, his ability to flatten at the top is kind of his best way to win, but he has a good counter with an inside swim as well. So, again, for a pass rusher to be successful, you just need to have two moves. You know, your main move and your counter when tackles or whatever lineman you're facing is starting to cheat. So Chick will run the edge a lot, and when tackles start to cheat and they're set a little bit, he'll counter with an inside swim. So he wins in a variety of different ways. I mean, this guy's always had good camps, and I think whenever he's gotten in games and been healthy, he's been able to translate that into some production. But a nice 3 days of camp, no surprise for Anthony Chickalo.
Mirroring problems with Hawkins, hand usage, what is it?
Yeah, maybe a little mirror. I think he's just trying to expect and maybe guessing a little bit. You know, when he faces Chicolo, he might guess speed, you know, a speed move, and so he sets a little too far, a little too wide outside, and Chicolo gets him inside. It's nothing major. I think they're just good battles. It's almost in a to a lesser extent, of course, but the Artie Burns, Antonio Brown kind of battle. You have Hawk and Chick go after it almost every single rep that they're going to be on the field, and they're going to get better naturally. So Hawkins has won a couple as well, and I think it does a nice job of sealing Chicolo up the field, and is a pretty good athlete for his size. So I think both guys are improving.
All right, running back. Before he left with the shoulder injury, Connor sounded like he was having a good practice. I know Mike Tomlin's, you know, judging by you know several tweets on social media, seemed to be impressed with the effort that he gave and backed some backers along with Fitzgerald Toussaint as well. So, can you recap the whole day along with backs and backers? You know that portion of it for the running back position.
Sure. Connor was the best guy in terms of the offensive side of the football in backs on backers. I mean, and he looked really good, and that kind of surprised and, of course, impressed me. You know, he's strong. He mirrors well. He keeps his feet moving. He's not lunging, and he stays square to the defender. So, I mean, he even got Shazier once today, and Shazier had his way with several guys. So I thought Connor looked really good in pass pro. I mean, I even mentioned that yesterday, I think in one rep where he squared up to Alualu and pads weren't on, but you saw the technique and the hand use, the tight hands, and I think Connor did a good job there. And then as a runner, Connor had a couple of nice runs. He had probably the best run of the day where he stiff-armed Brian Allen, spun off somebody else, and had a, I forget what it was, a 7 to 10 yard gain down the left side. So it's disappointing his day ended in a sling, but when he was on the field, he looked pretty impressive.
You know, we're not surprised Toussaint excelling in that drill anyway, right? I think on the write-up that I did with on him a couple of weeks ago, the you know the 50 and 25 series I did, if there's one thing that Fitzgerald Toussaint does well, it's eat up grass and pass protect. He always seems to know where to be you know in pass protection, which free guy to get. So not overly shocking that Mike Tomlin pointed out that he was impressed, really impressed with him today in that drill.
Yeah, Toussaint did well. Again, I think he had another win against Shazier. Shazier got him a little bit later, but I thought Toussaint looked good. And, you know, as a veteran, he knows what to expect. There's not going to be any intimidation factor there. So I thought he did well. And some of these other guys that struggled, it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of smaller type backs that are running these drills. Trey Williams, Brandon Brown Dukes, those are guys that struggled, but you're going to expect to when they're both 5'7", you know, a buck 90 and just going to get overwhelmed.
Plus the tight ends, I mean the edge rushers get a you know running start at you and all like that. So it's a lopsided drill to begin with. But tight ends, Fazan Odom, he sure didn't hit a lot of time at Fordham with his hand in the ground.
He spent no time at Fordham with his hand on the ground. It showed today, you know, they hit those sleds and Tomlin always watches over. I tweeted out the photo and the first time Odom went after it, I mean, he basically just stopped on contact. He's not uncoiling his hips. He's not striking up through contact. And, you know, that'll come. He'll be a lot better night and day by the end of camp. We've seen that with several guys before. But, you know, as much as I was intrigued by Fazan Odom, you and I have warned people that this guy is incredibly raw as a run blocker. And he doesn't even know how to get in a three-point stance. You know, you had to build from the ground up with a guy like him. And backs on backers, I get it's tough for the offense, but man, Odom and Orndorff as well really struggled. I have that several times in my notes. And Odom, to his credit, catches the football well. He adjusts. He's got a big catch radius. He's a fluid guy that's quick to the tuck and a pretty easy mover for how tall he is. But, you know, do the detail things and the dirty work for a tight end. It's going to be a steep learning curve for Fazan Odom.
We'll have to see what happens with Grimble and, of course, Orndorff with their, you know, injuries respectively. But you already got short lines there. We might see another tight end here in camp here pretty soon. At cornerback, too. I mean, you're slowly losing a few numbers there. You don't want the lines to get too short there, especially when you have veterans like William Gay running around. You probably not want to get him a whole heck of a lot of snaps or try to be careful with him during training camp as well, too. Anything else stick out tight end-wise?
That's the bulk of it. Jesse James had a couple nice combative catches today, which, as I said before, really for any tight end to get noticed, that's what you're going to have to do. Make either red zone catches or combative catches. in traffic, and I think James had one. I think I tweeted out Fort at the time. I'm pretty sure it actually was Medakevich, but, you know, same difference. So James did well. Grimble had a touchdown. I think he had the first score in seven shots, and I thought overall I was like, you know, this guy's got to make a play, and he made a play to start, but you're going to end camp with Heat-related stuff, and you've been through this before, and you're a guy that shouldn't be getting dogged by this. You know, that's a disappointing end.
All right, quarterbacks real quick. Ben Roethlisberger had an excused absence today, so that left Landry Jones, Dobbs, and Bart Houston.
Yeah, Dobbs was better today. I think just progression is not forcing the football, hitting his check down, getting the ball out quick. I mean, there was nothing super flashy, but I thought Dobbs was better, and that was nice to see. And I just think, and this is hard for me to maybe, you know, speculate from a little bit from afar, but I think he has good command of the offense, the ability to, you know, with his motions, the team gets out of the huddle quickly. There's not a lot of botched snaps and coaches blowing the whistle and guys that look totally out of place. You compare that with someone like Bart Houston that came in once today for one rep, and it was just a complete mess. Neither side, offense or defense, had a clue what was going on. Coaches had to blow the whistle, take 2 minutes, reset everything. You know, that's kind of the difference you see between a guy like Dobbs and Houston, you know, both rookies, of course, but that have been in with the Steelers long enough. But Dobbs, I think, is showing command and getting guys in the right place and being able to just do some of the operational stuff. And that's a good first step for him.
All right, defensive line.
I don't have maybe a ton on them today. Johnny Maxey, I think, you know, getting better. He's showing some counters as a pass rusher, which is nice to see. He just looks bigger, which you would expect being a full year, you know, with the team and now through the whole offseason program. I thought Tyson Alulu showed good effort, chased down Dobbs once today. We both know that's huge and number one for John Mitchell. Dan McCullers, you know, he does his bull rush in one-on-ones, and they'll have moderate success. One thing that I noticed today, and I don't know for sure if this is his fault, and I'm going to apologize, there's a train going by right now, which might be McCullers' train out of town since he's still running third team. But when I mentioned about, you know, the defense having an issue, it was one play. It was Nelson Adams and Roy Filon, and they didn't know where to line up. They kept switching left and right, and like two or three times they kept going back and forth, and coaches finally blew the whistle dead. I'm guessing that's McCullers' job to set the front, because they've talked about to roll the nose tackle before to declare the strength and get guys aligned. And McCullers just kind of looking at them, and they're both flipping back and forth. And so I think you see one of those issues with McCullers of, is he a leader? Is he a vocal? Is he an intense guy that really, you know, is taking charge? And on that play, he might have failed to do so.
All right, what about Hargrave? We ain't heard you talk much about him yet.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of reps in one-on-one. Actually, I think Kyle Friend beat him once in one-on-ones, which, if you remember last year, Hargrave almost never lost one-on-one. So feather in your cap for Kyle Friend. But Hargrave's doing well. He's running, you know, second-team nickel because Tua and Hayward, of course, are going to be the starters. He's flowing well against zone runs. It's all the stuff we saw last year. I think Hargrave's doing just fine.
You don't get to see a lot of hand fighting from your vantage point, do you?
Not in team or in the team scrimmages because my eyes usually elsewhere, but in one-on-ones, you know, I have my pair of binoculars with me, so I do get a pretty good view as long as players don't get in my way.
Lua is pretty much as described or as we thought he was on tape.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing fine. I think he's holding up well against the run. Again, the effort was there. I mean, he ran across the field to chase after Josh Dobbs today, force a throwaway. You know, that's going to make John Mitchell happy. I mean, it's early. You know, I want to get a better look at him for some of these, you know, for guys like the offensive line, the running backs. Those first 2 days of practice, just really hard to tell. When you don't have pads on, you can't hit. The intensity level's lower. Now that the pads have come on, we're going to start learning more and learning quickly about those position groups and what they're made of.
All right, with Vince Williams sideline today, Tyler Matakavich, Dirty Red, the Dirty Red fan club had a little bit to cheer about today, I think.
Yeah, making some plays. Two tackles for a loss in the first team session. The first or second play, he came in and dropped Toussaint, and I think he dropped Niall Davis for a loss two plays later. So he had a nice day. He was running the first team opposite of Shazier at the buck position, and then that bumped Steven Johnson and LJ Fort to both run second team together. Fort had a couple nice plays today. Steven Johnson with some open field tackles, so I think that group's doing pretty well.
You know, we sometimes throw out these terms and we take for granted that listeners, you know, understand them. And in fact, I had an email from a listener not too long ago that said, can you describe some of these things like the personnel groupings and all like that? So I guess we should take a moment and describe that the buck inside linebacker is your strong side linebacker. And whenever you hear us refer to Mac or a run and chase, you know, type of linebacker, that's you know, your weak side guy. So anything you want to add on that, usually a strong side is the strong side. We're the predominant beef of you know, the heavy side of your offensive line or of your offensive formation there. If the tight, you know, if you got a tight end on one side, you know, you're loaded up, and that's going to be your heavy side, you know, your strong side there. So did I miss anything? You want to clarify anything else for those folks on that?
No, you said it really well, Dave. Yeah, Buck is strong, Mac is weak, and they're fluid. So it's going to be based on the strength of the formation, the tight end strength. So if you have a tight end to one side and it's only one backside receiver, the strength is to the tight end side. Your Buck linebacker is going to be shaded to that side. Your Mac's going to play the weak. So, yeah, good idea for the clarification there.
Why don't you tell them real quick about over-under?
The over front is just going to be a shift where you're going to have the nose tackle shaded usually in the backside A gap, and then you're going to have like a defensive tackle to the strength of the formation, again, the strong side in that three tech, and then an under front will be reverse, where the defensive line is shifted away from the strength of the formation, where you might have a nose tackle in the strong side A gap, and then a defensive tackle in the backside, weak side, you know, three tech alignment, that kind of B gap area. It's hard, I guess, for us to describe off the cuff. You're talking about it, but just over front is shifting to the strength, under front is shifting to the weak side of the formation.
All right, edge rushers. You already talked a little bit about Chickalo and Watt.
Yeah, again, Watt had some nice rushes today. Bud Dupree looks good. I saw some other, I think, beat guys talking about him being able to show power, being able to show speed, vary his moves up a little bit. To be fair, some of that came against those rookie tight ends, which are just, I think, easy pickings for a guy like Bud to dominate against, but I thought he had a nice day of work. And then one guy we don't talk about too much, but I think he was Dupree's teammate for a while, Farrington Huguenin, I think has some nice traits, a good punch, a good first step, has a couple moves in his tool belt. He's got a little NFL experience, was with Miami, I believe, last year. He had some good wins today, and I thought he was kind of impressive.
You want to sum up the secondary? And sometimes when it comes to the secondary right now, your best ability is your availability. And a guy like Mike Hilton, maybe don't end up getting a cornerback out of Mississippi just yet.
Yeah, it might be. Just might end up being Mike Hilton. He loves to hit. He's a physical guy. He works in the slot. Pop Trey Williams was pretty good today. Burns had some good one-on-ones with AB. Again, that's a really exciting matchup to watch. Safety, I don't have a whole lot for you. No big hits today. Dangerfield had a couple of breakups, and I thought Tarish Webb did a nice job with his run fits and playing the alley.
And Robert Golden was the first the man in for Mike Mitchell, right?
Yep, correct. And then second team became Dangerfield and Hagan, and third team was Webb and Malik Golden.
All right, a couple plays that caught your eye today.
I have to go back through my notes. My mind's been racing all day trying to get this long report done. I think there was one, I forget, I think it was Bud, it might have been Watt as well, that have just, you know, pushed back Odom and just, you know, ran through him with a bull rush and a one-arm stab and ran Odom over in backs on backers. And Connor's rep today against Shazier was impressive. Same with Toussaint. And in team drills, I think the one that's sticking out to me the most is, I believe when I mentioned that screen that Watt broke up, I thought that just showed really high football IQ. And I'll mention another one that is a minor thing, and maybe I get too wrapped up in the inertia of football sometimes, but it was the deep ball to AB down the left sideline from Landry Jones. The ball was a little underthrown. Burns really couldn't make a play on it. Brown makes a really spectacular AB-like diving catch. That's not what impressed me, though. But Burns, who had fallen to the ground trying to locate the football, kind of army crawls his way back to AB, who's not been touched yet. He's on the ground and grabs his ankle to mark him down. I know that's a really minor thing, and Burns is now a second-year guy, but I just like seeing that football IQ in Burns' mentality of finish the play. Okay, I didn't, you know, contest the football. It's a catch. It's a long gainer. But I know Brown's not down yet. Let me tap him and end the play. So I know that's a really minor, maybe stupid thing, but that was impressive. And then James Conner, big run, too, I mentioned earlier. Stiff-arming Allen, shaking away from another tackle. I thought he had one of the stronger performances of today.
Live to fight another day in those situations. As Mike Tomlin always say, give yourself some blades of grass to defend. One more play, because you never know what can happen on the next play. You know, we've seen that in the past as well, too. Okay, who's wearing the L today?
Oh, the L. Face on Odom, I guess I got to give it to him. I mean, he made a couple nice catches, but it was very much what we knew about Odom. Yeah, he's a good receiver, but he blocks like a receiver, too. And whenever he gets into those tight quarters and guys get into his pads, The power just goes, and he'll get better by the end of camp. I don't know how much better, but he is a project, and I think people have to understand that with Faison Odom.
Yeah, I wrote a couple weeks ago, I think, that he might be one of those guys that people just way overrated or overhyped, I think was the word that I used with him. But hey, we'll see what happens. We got a lot of training camp left, and the fourth practice, you'll be out there tomorrow at St. Vincent College Monday, and then I think they'll have a break on Tuesday there, and that will be a break for you as well, too. You, of course, will be wrapping all this up in a post on SteelersDepot.com, as you do every night, and joining me on the podcast for a special edition of the podcast as well too. Alex, always tremendous stuff, great as usual, and you and I will talk again tomorrow. And as always, thanks for listening to this special edition of the Terrible Podcast.